Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
My pals in Sactown. How you live in Sactown? I bet I know. I bet if it's a beautiful morning in Cowtown. Phillip's description, not mine. I would never do you like that. But I bet if you listen really closely, you can probably hear cowbells ringing all over, quote, Cowtown this morning. We definitely heard them rattling last night. And we all saw that beam get lit right in the Lakers' grills yet again. Yes. Man, Sacktown, get up in here. Don't even wait for my thoughts. Get up in here because I know you have thoughts. Do it now, Sacktown. 1-800-636-8686. Because last night was Kings v. Lakers for the final time this regular season, and the so-called Cowtowners v. Carflaggers went down exactly the same way the other three matchups have this season, with the Cowtowners ramming a cow pie in the Carflaggers' big mouths. That's right. A season sweep for the Kings over the Lakers. And man, have the last few weeks been really confusing for Carflag Nation. I mean, I get it. It's got to be frustrating. Like, every single time Carflag Nation gets hyped and busts out the car flags, the Lakers immediately go and do something embarrassing. You know, like getting their asses kicked by the Kings again. And it's not just a season sweep for Sactown over the Lake Show. It is that. 4-0. But it's more than that. It continues to be a career sweep for Domantas Sabonis over Anthony Street Clothes Davis.
Anthony Street Clothes Davis.
Who, in fairness, is still managing to spend way more time on the court this season than anybody thought possible. It's just that he also continues to eat L's. Hand-fed by that Sabonis dude. Yo, AD, what's good?
AD, what's good, baby?
What's good, baby? Yo, AD, what's good? What's good, AD?
AD, what's good, baby?
Definitely not your record against Sabonis. He's now 10-0 against you, AD, in your career. 10-0. How the hell is that even possible?
It doesn't make any sense.
This is a dude who is allegedly supposed to be the face of the Laker franchise. The guy that LeCap tried to hand the torch to earlier this season. The heir apparent. And yet he's 0-10 in his career against the rival big man up the road in Sactown. It's incredible. It's one of my all-time favorite stats ever. I cannot get enough of this. I cannot get enough of this. I mean, I can't get enough of this. But here's the thing that I don't get. I don't get Sabonis trying to get us to stop talking about it. It's all anybody wants to talk about, and for good reason, because it's amazing. So, Domas, with all due respect, my guy, you're a great guy. You're a great dude. I know you don't want us to keep bringing it up. However, I have to reject your extremely polite request that we stop bringing it up.
No, I don't pay attention to that. The more you guys bring attention to that, it makes my life harder. You know, so, you know, it just, if anything, it will light a fire under him. So stop mentioning anything. Please.
My man. I mean, what a classy request. Classy request. Let me think on this. No, dude. I thought on it.
You don't like this.
Sorry to drop the hammer, my guy. But that is a no for me. Paulette. Or polite request denied. I'll even give you a live manual hammer.
Stop mentioning it.
I'm not even sorry. Of course I'm going to talk about this. Of course everybody's going to talk about this. But if you're really concerned about it, I don't think you need to worry about, quote, lighting a fire under AD, big dude. Considering the first 9 wins against the guy didn't light any fires, I think you're fine. If the fire was going to be lit, it probably would have been lit by now. If the fire was going to be lit, it probably would have been lit right around the, I don't know, the fifth or sixth time you own this cat. I think you're in the clear, big dude.
Please.
I mean, I understand. He did say please. He really was very polite.
Please.
That was my answer. But I said please. 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 He's like, please, can please. You not bring it up? And my response is, please.
Please.
There's different ways of saying please. Different meanings to please. My dude's like, can you please not bring this up anymore?
Please.
To which we all say, please.
Please.
Please. Especially say, oh, then you got that. And then you have AD himself. Leave AD alone. You're lucky he even gets on the floor for you bastards. Leave street clothes alone. He could be sitting in his street
Please.
Clothes on the bench doing nothing. Leave him alone.
Please.
He changes into his uniform and puts it on and runs in it every single day. Leave AD alone. Anyway, he himself is very open about the fact that he doesn't care. AD, let me repeat that. AD is very open about the fact that he does not care. You know what I care about? Sackdown fan. The hell, where are you? Where are you, Kings fans? 1-800-636-8686. If you're not going to talk your junk and gloat now, then when? You're 4-0 against them. Don't worry. Robert Horry ain't walking through that door. You're clear. Back to AD. He himself admits he really doesn't care that he's 0-10 against Domas. AD doesn't give a rip about getting completely dominated every time he sees the big man up the road in Sacktown. He said as much. Not that I needed him to. If he actually cared, he would have done something about it a long time ago. But he hasn't. So no, he doesn't care. We all know that. Except he went out of his way to reaffirm it himself. Just in case you didn't hear that, quote, it doesn't matter to me, I'm all about the team. Right, it doesn't matter to you. If it did matter to you, AD, you would not be 0-10 against the guy. But here's the thing. Here is the thing. If you are all about the team, wouldn't you care that your team is 0-10 when you face this guy? If you're all about the team, wouldn't you try to find a way to slow this dude down and stop getting owned by him? Instead of what happened last night, which was you letting him post another triple-double on your ass. I'm trying to understand. I mean, that sentence is so short, yet so confusing. I'm trying to understand how you can be, quote, all about the team, but also at the same time, in the same sentence, say that being 0-10 against a rival big man, quote, doesn't matter to you. Doesn't matter to me that I'm 0-10 against him. I'm all about the team. Dude, that makes no sense at all, even for you. If you were all about the team, you would beat this dude. At least once. And if not for yourself, for your teammates. After all, you are the face of the franchise, remember? I actually have a message for both these big dudes. Here's my message to both of you. AD and Domas. I know both of you say, it doesn't matter. I know both of you don't want to talk about it anymore. I get that. I do. I just don't care. I don't care what both of you want. I care what I want. And I want to talk about this some more. You see, when it comes to matters of the scoreboard, you don't get to decide what we can and can't talk about. Hell, when it comes to matters of the jungle, nobody gets to decide what I get to talk about. Except me. But, street clothes. I am a completely reasonable dude. I am. If you really want me to stop talking about this, I will. As soon as you stop getting your ass handed to you by this dude. And Domas, if you really want me to stop talking about this, I will. I will.
Please.
As soon as you stop dominating this dude, as soon as somebody pulls you off of this dude, I'll stop talking about this and how he's 0-10 against you. I will. I'll stop talking about this as soon as that stops happening, which at this rate will be never.
Stop mentioning anything.
So I'll probably be talking about this forever. Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. How is this guy 0-10 against the other guy? How is he 0-10 against anybody? AD, what's good, baby?
AD, what's good, baby?
Hey, Sacktown, what's good? You're 4-0. Hey, and by the way, Lakers needed that game. The Lakers needed that game. You're on the clock. You're running out of time. And I don't care that nobody wants to see you in the first round. You don't want to be in the play-in. So which team are you? Because you're making it really hard on Laker front-running honks. Every time they think it's safe to go into their garage, break out their car flags, and put them back on their cars, you do something like this. And then you have AD say something like, "Doesn't matter to me, I'm all about the team." What? It doesn't matter to me, I'm all about the team. Dude, that makes no sense. Not even a little. Being around sports media for a lifetime has taught me that sometimes it is exploring the sliding doors moments and what-if scenarios in sports that can be the very best part of the fan experience. For instance, what if the Seahawks let Marshawn run on the one-yard line with the Super Bowl on the line? Or could a coin flip have landed Magic in Chicago and MJ in LA? Enter Wondery's newest sports show, Alternate Roots. A weekly leap into the sports multiverse with former SportsCenter anchors Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier. Each week on the podcast, Trey and Kevin will pry open the sliding doors of a different what-if moment from the world of sports. In these alternate sports realities, dynasties will fall, legacies will change forever, new goats will emerge. Follow Alternate Roots on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Alternate Roots early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. We are joined right now by Sugar Sean O'Malley, champ. It is great to talk to you once again, man. How you feeling?
Brother Jim, feel good. Can't complain. Just, you know, whoop some butt and back home chilling now.
I love it. And well, you should be. And that's exactly what you did, dude. You dominated Chito Vera for 5 rounds Saturday in the main event in UFC 299. How pleased were you with that performance? And then physically, Sean, how did you come out of that fight?
Yeah, it felt really, really good to go out there and dominate for 25 minutes, especially with how the first fight played out. And, you know, I would like to got a finish, but that was the next best thing, was whooping his ass for 25 minutes. So overall, feel pretty good. Definitely a little bit sore, but I'm sure I'm feeling better than he is.
Sean O'Malley joining us. I was going to say, you did dominate him for 5 rounds. He's a tough, tough dude. He's never been stopped in a fight. I mean, how badly did you want that finish in that fight?
Yeah, I wanted it bad. You know, and it's not... You know, we had a little personal beef going into that, so I also wanted it on top of that. But anytime I get into the octagon, I'm looking for a finish. It's just, you know, it's what the fans want to see. It's what I truly, you know, just feel the most satisfied with. So you know, it obviously didn't get it, but next best thing was the dominant performance.
Sean, you understand that. It's one thing to win, but it's not enough, right? You have to win a certain way. You understand that better than anybody. I guess you probably knew that the finish was not coming when you caught him with that vicious knee to his face that went viral after the fight. How that dude took that shot and didn't go to sleep, I really have no idea. What I do want to know is, what did it feel like to you to land that shot?
Yeah, it actually, you know, in the moment I remember hearing it and it just felt kind of gross. I was like, wow, that felt like it shattered his nose. I remember going into that round telling my coach that I think I broke his nose because, yeah, it felt like I shattered something in his face. So it felt good.
So that's what it felt like. I was going to say, what did it sound like?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't believe he was still standing, but, you know, some people are just, I have a theory on that. I think some people are just so stupid that they don't know when to get knocked out. I think he's one of those guys.
Is that the theory, dude? Is that just, it's just a matter of stupidity, not toughness or?
Yep. It's just pure stupidity.
Sugar Sean O'Malley is joining us. So this guy, so it was like when it was over until it wasn't, because then he bounced back on the X platform and he asked you, dude, and I quote, "Who braid your hair at Sugar Sean MMA? You were greased to the bone. I wonder how much gel they use." End of quote. Sean, for those who missed it, you reposted that, and then what did you say?
Yeah, I mean, that was a good segue into my stupidity comment. I mean, it's just, we didn't even grapple at all. The UFC braided my hair. I mean, he didn't even attempt the takedown. The only time he was on his back is when I dropped him once, and then I tripped him once, but... Yeah, I don't even really, you know, it's hard to, yeah, I said, "Send me a picture of your face. I'd love to," you know, that's what I replied.
That is what you replied, dude. You reposted it and said, "Send pic of your face." And then that pretty much was that. You know, it was kind of weird. I mean, you got to fight when you got to fight and you're the main event. How weird was it to fight at 12:30 in the morning? Like, what did that do to your process as you got ready for the fight the day before?
Yeah.
And day of?
It's definitely not ideal. You know, I'm on the West Coast, so. When we go over to the East Coast, it's definitely a little bit different. But I fought in Boston when I knocked out Aljamain Sterling in the second round, and that was the same thing. So fought around the same time then. But yeah, it's not ideal, but I'm a performer. As long as Dana White, Hunter Campbell, and my team are with me, I can fight anywhere in the world at any time of the day. So, you know, it didn't faze me.
Sugar Sean O'Malley joining us. So, you know, I want you to enjoy this thing. You earned it. It was a great performance. You put in the work. You got it done. You know, once that sets in, have you thought about this very much? Who do you have your sights on? Who do you want next? Or is it too soon to say?
You know, there are a couple of Georgians that I'd like to fight. Ilya Topuria, Merab Dvalishvili. Those guys are both in line for an ass whooping next. But yeah, we'll see. I need to go to Vegas here and, you know, in a week or so, sit down with UFC and discuss the options and talk about the plans and figure out what's next.
Sean, what do you think about Topuria? Like, you made it clear you'd like to fight him. Dana seemed to shut down the possibility of that happening. Is that your sense? Can you maybe talk him out of that? How do you think that plays out?
To me, it really doesn't matter. I'm down to fight Merab or Ilya. Merab's definitely less of a scary fight. You know, I was trying to call out Ilya, you know, for the fans, and Ilya is a way more dangerous, way more scary fight. So if everyone's like, "Oh, you're ducking Merab," hey, I'm gladly fight Merab. He's not nearly as scary as Ilya. I was trying to give the people what I thought they'd want to see. So I was calling out the next biggest, baddest, scariest thing I could. But apparently, people don't want to see that as much. So I'll go beat up Merab first.
See, the thing about Merab too, like, I'll give him his respect, right? This dude can fight. Hell, Sean, he could fight 10 rounds. He could probably fight 15 rounds. This dude never runs out of gas. But as we talked about, it's not just winning. You have to win a certain way. Do you think that this dude, as much as you'd respect his toughness and his gas tank, do you feel like he's got an entertaining fighting style? Is this the kind of guy that people are throwing down big coin to watch fight? Merab?
They are if I'm fighting him, but anyone else he's fighting, no. I mean, the only reason that fight is anywhat exciting is obviously because I'm on the other end of it. He's been able to do the same thing to everyone so many times in a row that there's excitement behind that. So, you know, if you're a boring fighter and you win 10 times in a row, you can somewhat become you know, entertaining. So that's what he's done. He's been boring for 10 fights in a row, and no one's been able to stop him. And, you know, now here we are.
Now here we are. In fact, now here we are. Dude, think about that for a minute. Here we are, and I know you would tell me, I'm not surprised by any of this. Like, I visualized the entire thing. I've done the work. I knew I was a different cat with different skills. I just need to put in the time, and I did. Now here we are. Now that you're here, it might seem natural, but I mean, how does it feel to be in that moment? Like, the way you planned it out and visualized it, here it is. What's it feel like?
It kind of makes me giggle a little bit to sit back and think, like, this skinny little kid, 19 years old, 20 years old, telling everybody, I'm going to be bigger than Conor. I'm going to be the face of the UFC. I'm going to be the world champ. And just to get, you know, not laughed at in a mean way, but, you know, I had so much confidence and so much delusion at the time that people were just kind of like, I mean, for you to go out there and do that, so many things would have to happen perfectly. That it's just not very realistic. But here we are. Everything I've said is going to happen. Before I was in the UFC, there's interviews me saying I'm going to be bigger than Conor. I'm going to be champ. I'm going to be the biggest and the baddest in the world. And, you know, so I kind of giggle. I get a nice little chuckle out of it. But, you know, I still do feel like I'm just getting started. And this is just, you know, halfway through the journey.
He's the champ, Sean O'Malley, joining me for a few more moments. Dude, what about the weight cut? Like, I heard you talk about this. Like, you got this thing down to a science, right? You have it down to a science, yeah. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't suck, because it does. It always sucks. Can you keep doing it, or ultimately are you looking to move up?
Yeah, no, I can keep making the weight right now. I can keep making the weight. I'm a good-sized bantamweight for now, and you know, I plan on staying a bantamweight. Even if I were to go up and knock out Ilya, I would, I might defend it. But ultimately, I want to stay as the bantamweight right now and become the best bantamweight to ever do it. And, the weight cuts are not fun. They're traumatizing, if anything. I can still make it for a few years.
I got you. All right, so we talked about Ilya. We talked about Merab. Let me ask you something. How tired, though, are you hearing about and having to answer questions about Henry Cejudo? And is there any scenario whereby you would ever fight that guy?
Yeah, if I see him at the grocery store. I don't like that guy. Short, ugly, stupid, thinks he's the man. It's like, I don't even understand how he won a championship belt. Sometimes he does his breakdowns, and I'm like, holy shit, is this dude even ever fought? He's just so insecure, so egotistical, and just so short that he drives me crazy. Can't handle that, dude.
My man, I mean, I'd let you drop the mic on that, but I would just follow really quickly with, we know the guy can grapple. We do know this on a pretty high level, but, and I don't want to get personal about it, like, even though you just did, but on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say Henry's level of cringe is?
10, maxed out. I've known people that have been around him. They're like, he's just so hard. He just, his whole life, he was kind of the man. He was the wrestling man. He went to the Olympic Training Center. He won the gold medal. Just everyone around him always treated him like the man. So when he walks around at the gym or he's talking, like, in public, he just thinks he's the man and people need to bow down to him. Like, dude, you're 5'3". No one's bowing down to you. Like, it's you're not that cool. Like, I'm not walking around the gym in the grocery store. Like, I'm the look at me, I'm the man. His ego is way too big but he does have that little short man syndrome, so I get it, I guess.
Quote, nobody's bowing down to you, dude. You're 5'3". Hey, Sean, before you go, I feel like you're a marquee name in the fight game, but I do feel like you're a marketing genius. And you're getting even better and bigger in that regard, too. So let me just ask you something, one last thing. What do you make of Jake Paul trying to take on a 57-year-old Mike Tyson? Like, do you have interest in that? Do you think that's a good idea?
I mean, I'll watch. I might even, you know, be there. But I don't love the fact that he's 57. Huge fan of Jake Paul and everything he's been doing. I've been a fan of it since day one. With that being said, you know, the whole... Yeah, it's hard to, you know, Jake Paul goes out and knocks out Mike Tyson. It's kind of sad. He's almost 60, but, you know, I'm there for it. I'll watch. I'll either watch on Netflix or I'll watch live. And, but yeah, you know, I don't really know how I feel about that one.
Yeah, I wonder if it's even like an actual fight. Like, I respect both these guys, but I mean, is it exhibition? Is it a fight? Like, you mentioned that, like, you respect Jake Paul. What do you like about Jake Paul?
I like that he kind of, everyone was against him. He was a Disney kid and he wanted to try boxing and he dedicated his life to it. It would be different if he trained sometimes and then fought and then took some time off, but the dude's really dedicated his life to it, and I respect that. And, you know, he said he was down bad, and he found boxing and changed his life. I mean, I feel like without fighting, I would have, you know, probably not have been the best person, and I feel like fighting really changed my life, too.
Discipline, man. Discipline and structure. He is the champion, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Yo, champ, I appreciate you making time for me and this show. Like I said, love watching you, love talking to you, and love getting caught up, man. Thanks so much for doing that. That was great.
Appreciate it.
Are you one of millions struggling with premature hair thinning and hair loss? Or maybe you're scared about inheriting that thinning look because it just runs in the family. Introducing Provia, a real solution that delivers on its promise without the harsh side effects, unwanted chemicals, and unpleasant smells. Thanks to our friends that developed GenuCell Skincare, Provia uses Procapil. It's a natural ingredient to effectively target the three main causes of premature hair thinning for men and women of any age. By supporting scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head than in the shower or on your comb, or 100% of your money back. And right now, new customers can save over 50% off Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Rome. Every package includes a full 60-day supply of Provia serum for daily use, plus their super concentrate that could give you faster, more noticeable results. And every order includes your choice of a free gift at checkout. See results for yourself right now. ProviaHair.com/Rome. ProviaHair.com/Rome. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Zaire Franklin. Zaire, it's always great to chop it up with you. What's good, dude? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. Thank you for having me on.
Always good to have you on. So you and I have talked so much in the past, but if I were to go back, given where you started, given where you were drafted, and given the player and leader that you have become, what does this extension represent to you, and how gratifying was it to put that pen to paper?
Oh, man. Honestly, it's just, you know, another, you know, just, you know, success and just on a journey of a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. You know, when you put so much into it and you give so much to a team and to an organization, it feels great to, you know, feel that commitment and that love back. And, you know, that's all it is. That's all it, you know, came to me, was just that the organization appreciated me and cared about me just as much as I care about it. So it definitely was, you know, felt great to be able to get that done. And, you know, just moving on to that, just, you know, getting focused on getting these wins and leaving something to be proud of during my time in Indianapolis.
Zaire Franklin joining us. You kind of led me into the next point. I was going to say, you know, in fact, before you came on, we were having this conversation. There is so little actual pure loyalty in professional sports because it's business, man. It's business and it can be ruthless, which leads me to this. You were set to enter the final year of your previous contract. So why was it important for you to commit to the Colts now rather than test the market as a free agent next season?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, the Colts, you know, that locker room, the city, is somewhat it's a place that I really care about. It's people that I really care about. You know, we talked to, you know, Chris and the Ursays and Mike Bloom about, you know, just, you know, trying to clear up this commitment. You know, the last contract I signed, you know, that was for, you know, more special teams, and, you know, quite frankly, that just wasn't my role on the team anymore. So, you know, I feel like, you know, they were very motivated to get it done. You know, I was obviously motivated to get it done. And, you know, I think we settled on good terms, and now we can focus on what's important, which is winning.
Zaire Franklin joining us. You know, you and I talked in the past about your commitment to keep improving. At the end of the year, you told reporters, and I quote, "I didn't hit many of the goals that I set for myself, and that was tough," end of quote. Look, dude, I respect how hard you go at it. I respect how you're your toughest critic, but my dude, you did set the franchise record for tackles for the second straight year. What more were you looking to do? What more could you have done?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, you know, as a competitor and as an athlete, you know, when you're in it so close, you know, it's just all you're always thinking about, you know, maximizing your opportunity. You know, tackles was never, ever really my goal. You know, I had a linebacker coach when I first got in the league, told me, you know, a linebacker's, you know, goal is to hit the ball every play, you know, and then it's just, you know, if you hit the ball 15 times in a game, you know, it's bound that one of them times the ball might come out. You know, so that's really my goal. And, you know, just the pace that I was on, the track that I was on, you know, my actual goal was really to break the NFL record. You know, that's what I wanted to do, and or lead the league. And but my, you know, my big brother, mentor, Bobby Wagner, you know, he outdid me the last week. I still give him a hard time about that. But, you know, since the season, I've been able to, like, reflect and see, you know, the success that I had this year and give myself more grace. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to make the playoffs. You know, I wanted to, like I said, lead the league in tackles. I wanted to, you know, Pro Bowl, All Pro, that type of stuff. So, obviously, some of that stuff is not in my control. But, you know, I just felt like, and I still feel like there's just another level. There's another step to my game that I want to take. And I'm just committed and pretty much that level.
Zatter Franklin joining us. I'm going to double back to Bobby Wagner in a minute. But, dude, you're right. You got off to an amazing start. When you and I spoke in September, you were off to such a great start. You were on pace to break the NFL record for tackles, which was set by Hardy Nickerson, 214. Listen, I get that it's about team. I get that it's about getting to the postseason. But how motivated are you to make a run at that record next season? And do you think that record is within grasp and attainable?
I definitely think it's something that could be done. You know, I feel like records are there to be broken. But I wouldn't necessarily say that was my goal. I hate to be, you know, cliche and corny, but I got to get to that postseason, man. Like, that's just, for me, that's what it's all about. Obviously, but for me, it's, you know, more game-changing plays. It's the forced fumbles, it's the picks, it's the sacks, and really just put my imprint on every game that I play. I get a chance to, you know, break that Hardy Nickerson record. That's something I look forward to doing, and that's something I'm going to be after. But I wouldn't necessarily say that's something I'm looking to do going into next season, honestly.
Hey, Zatter, when you talk about the postseason, like, if you could break that down, it seems kind of it's self-evident, right? Obviously, you're a pro athlete. Obviously, you're competitive. Obviously, you want to see how you do on the biggest stage. But why is that so important to you? How often do you think about that? Is that something that's on your mind, like, almost all day, every day, most of the day? What is it that is so important about getting to that stage?
Well, I just think, you know.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Do not make a shake or eat a bar. Instead, grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Why Old Trapper? Because Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender, and it's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. Old Trapper is a family-owned business that takes smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. I mean, who wants dried-out, tough beef in a bag? No one. It's like eating a shoe. Old Trapper is the real deal, and it comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned is sweetened with a touch of brown sugar goodness, teriyaki, peppered, and hot and spicy for those of you who like to take things up a notch. Next time you want a great protein and energy snack that you can have anytime, anywhere, grab some Old Trapper beef jerky. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef.
Like I said, you have personal goals. Like, I had personal goals. I didn't hit all of them, but I still had a great year. And even talking to, you know, other guys throughout the league that, you know, I train with and, you know, I'm friends with, you know, that are all pros and pro bowlers. And don't get me wrong, that's a great feeling. You want to accomplish those things. But at the end of the year, every year, you know, the teams that are sitting home watching the guys still playing think to themselves, like, man, I got to get to that stage. That's where I want to be. And, you know, just for me personally, haven't been in Indianapolis, you know, 6 going on 7 years. Hopefully, you know, it's for the rest of my career or for the long foreseeable future. I think that's the stuff that you're really going to be remembered by. You know, obviously people, you know, they remember great players and, you know, great situations, but people remember the stuff that can't be taken from you, the stuff that's written in stone. And, you know, I think, you know, those are the things that we all should be chasing and accomplishing. And I know from Shane to Chris and everybody else in the building, that's our goal, is, you know, to leave something and earn something and put a stripe on our jacket that can't be taken away from us.
Well said, man. Legacy stuff. You mentioned Shane. You were voted a team captain each of the last 4 seasons. So given that you're one of the main leaders in the locker room, how much do you think the culture has changed in Indy since Shane Steichen came in as head coach?
Oh, man, it's I would honestly say 180. You know, I think he just brought from day one just a level of competitiveness and accountability. That's literally how I could just sum up to him. Shane loves ball. He understands people. And he's all about competing anytime, anywhere. He loves it. That's the type of stuff that gets him going in the morning. He's very motivated. And it's just that energy just, it trickles down, man. You know, it's hard for, you know, us as a team and not feel like we can't beat anybody anywhere, anytime when, you know, our head coach just walks around and carries that mentality and brings that into every part of what we do, whether that's competitive shooting at the end of a team meeting or, you know, that's, you know, one-on-ones at the end of practice, you know, just to see, you know, who was locked in that day, you know. So I think he just brings that type of mentality and that type of energy, and I think, you know, it's just infectious to the whole organization.
Yeah, man, that's powerful, especially if it's every single day in every single thing and it's consistent. Sire Franklin joins us for a few more moments. Now, you were not the only key defensive contributor who got re-upped this week. How pumped were you to see the team lock down corner Kenny Moore as well?
Oh, man. Kenny's one of my closest friends, one of my most trusted teammates. He's the guy that I follow in that locker room, him and Buck. And just being able to have him back, it means a lot. You know, Kenny's one of those guys. Obviously, he's a great player. Obviously, he makes a lot of great plays. But, man, he does so much not only on the field but in the building that I think, you know, a lot of people, sometimes you can take it for granted because you're just so used to, when someone's so consistent, sometimes you're just so used to there's certain things being handled unless they're not there. But I think, you know, with Kenny, I'm one of the people that truly understand and appreciate the value that he brings. So I'm just glad that, you know, we got him back in the building for as long as I'm there as well.
Great player. Zaire Franklin joining us. Before you go, given what you know about Anthony Richardson, how do you think he's going to bounce back from being hurt his rookie season? And then how confident are you this team can build on last year's 9-win season?
Very confident. You know, I feel like, you know, just the proof is, and, you know, bringing, you know, obviously all the guys back, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, that's just trying to, you know, continue to build a culture. The guys that we re-signed, like you said, Kenny, Grove, you know, myself, we all top guys at our position, you know, Rigo, Talu. So, you know, even if we were in a free agency pool, we would have went somewhere else and got the same thing. So it's just kind of like bringing back all the great players. And then for Anthony, you know, I know him. I talked to him. He's working hard, and I know it was hard for him to – it's always hard to watch somebody succeed in the spot that you were supposed to be in. So I know that motivates him. I know it motivates him to watch CJ have a great year. You know, I know he's determined to put his imprint on the game. So I think we're going to be in a great spot to move forward this season.
All right, so it's a great conversation. One last thought. The team also decided to bring in old head and big arm Joe Flacco, who had an amazing comeback season for the Browns. Dude, he's going to come in. He can mentor Anthony, and then if necessary, he can provide backup. What's your reaction to that move and that guy?
Man, I ain't going to lie. I'd have met a whole lot of the QB legends, Flacco, Matt Ryan, Phillip. I'd have met a lot of the guys I used to play with Madden with a long time. So I'm definitely glad that, you know, I'm looking forward to meeting Joe and, you know, being his teammate for the season. But obviously knowing he's capable. I mean, look, to be honest with you, you know, if you look throughout the NFL last year, you could just see that backup quarterback is honestly one of the more undervalued, most important positions on the team, just because if something was to happen to QB1, you know, you can't just throw the whole season down the drain. So having a proven veteran like Flacco, obviously someone who proved last year what he was able to do in Cleveland last year and get them to the postseason and help them maintain and make something out of the season that they had last year, that was commendable. Obviously, won comeback player of the year. So, you know, having a guy like that at that spot is definitely important.
It's such a great point you make. You're right. You have to have that. It's so critical. And it makes me laugh. You're right, dude. You have not only met and played with some of the all-time OGs at that position. That is really funny and true. He is one of the best in the game. He got himself a new 3-year contract extension. Is going to end up playing a long time for the Colts, maybe forever. He is Zaire Franklin, a good friend of the program, too. Zaire, congrats on that deal. You certainly did earn it. Great to have you back on the show, man. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Back to Sacramento, Jackson. Jackson, what's going on?
Hey, Jim Rome, to answer your question, we don't care at all about the Lakers. All we care about is what I told you last year. Coach of the year, rookie of the year, sixth man of the year, all of those things, and we got better. We all have ups and downs in the NBA season. But reminder to you, you started mumbling about the Maloofs or some folks like that. They ain't here no more. Wrong decade. Big ups to Uncle V and everybody with the Sacramento Kings. And a reminder, Sactown is where Max Crosby lives. Sacramento is where we force feed you beans. LTB.
Okay. Thanks for the reminder, whatever the hell that meant. I got a beef. My best friends, my best pals at my morning Starbucks were not open when I came in, and it was office hours, normal hours. I don't know what they were dealing with. During the pandemic, I understood it, and I've given them enough hype. I propped them up a lot. I love these people. They're great. They're great to deal with. I'm happy to see them every single morning. I knew, though, that when I went on the app and it said not available, that was not a good sign. I was hoping that it didn't mean that they'd be closed. But, man, there's no worse feeling than going to a Starbucks after I know they're open and yanking on that door and it being locked. Got a beef with that. What else? There was another beef I had this morning. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. I don't remember. When it does, though, oh, maybe it was the tornado-type conditions we had here in SoCal. Tommy, how'd that grab you? Have you ever seen that before? I mean, dude, the wind was severe. That had to have had something to do with it. I don't know if it blew their espresso machines into the street or what it was, but it was bad. When I pulled out of my park or out of my garage this morning, I saw a trash can. You know, a big trash can, a family trash can. This thing was in the middle of the street on its side. I haven't seen an object that large move that far since my refrigerator was halfway across the floor or halfway across the studio apartment during the Northridge earthquake. I mean, that's how windy it was. Anyway, we do not want fires in SoCal today. That'd be tragic. Let's go to the beefs. We're going to start with the phones. We go to Austin. Tim, good to have you. Tim, what's your beef?
Welcome back, Romy. Good to be on the show. Thank you for taking my call. March Madness is around the corner, and I tell you what, that image of you at the Final Four and we met shaking hands will never get out of me. I think of it every time this year. Appreciate you. Hey, look, here's the deal, Collins. I've been listening to this show since the Orange Slice was on the orange, that was on the limb, that was on the tree, that was only 3 feet tall. The motto of the show is have a take, don't suck. Here's my beef, Romy. I have beef with fat people who can't even get out of their own car to buy their own beef, okay? The carts are taking up the entire aisles with order pickers, and I can't even get my own beef because you're too fat to actually go in the grocery store yourself to get your own beef. That's my beef. Rack me, baby.
My man, Tim. Hey, Tim, you gotta admit, I cut you a little bit of slack. Like, the beef segment, I didn't say it off the top. Get in, get out. Get in, get out. State your beef, get out. But we have history. You have history. You know the show. So I let you go. And I even let you call people fat numerous times.
Fat.
It's okay. Good to talk to you, dude. Thank you very much. Your beef does not need an intro. Just get to your beef. No preamble. You don't need to state your credentials or read me your resume. Tell us what the jungle's all about. Man, just get in. Get in with your beef. What is your beef? Your beef is what fat people jamming the aisle at the grocery store. I know all about the jungle. Anyway, I admit it. I started with a beef that kind of bogged us down. Let's go. 1-800-636-8686. We go to San Antonio, another great and historic jungle market. Rob in San Antonio. Rob, what's your beef?
What's going on, Snagger? How you doing today?
Good, dude.
My beef is my company. We moved to corporate, and all of a sudden they don't like us wearing shorts at corporate, so they pulled out some aging policy, and now we got to wear pants from September through May. And we're down here deep in the heart of Texas where it's hot every day. Thanks a lot.
I got you, bro. How about that? a clothing policy, a dress code requiring you to wear pants from September to May. Hey, man, I get it. Texas summers must be brutal. 1-800-636-8686. I don't know what he does for a living, but let's stay right there in San Antonio. Ed in SA. Ed, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. Yeah, my beef is these pet food commercials where the people are getting thrown out of the house because they question why their buddies have dog food in the fridge. I mean, these are the same people that shove fast food down their kids' gullet. Don't think twice about it. And realistically, we all know that dogs prefer a diet of cat turds and buttholes. Don't believe me? Ask Paul's dog.
All right, Ed. Ed, hey, Ed, did you... There's no way you thought you were going to make it to the end, right? It's like you paused for the hammer. It's like you waited for the hammer, and then it didn't come. That dude, just the way he sounds makes me laugh. Not what he says, necessarily, and sometimes what he says, but the way he sounds makes me laugh. All right, I think we've run through San Antonio. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the Bay. I'll even give you that, Frisco. Let's go to the Bay. Mike in the Bay. What's going on, Mike? What's your beef?
Hey, bro. My beef is with all the Bay Area fans here. At least the Warriors want some championships to run their mouth. But now, Sacramento Kings fans talking all this smack about the Lakers. I grew up in L.A., so I'm a Laker fan. And congratulations on your regular season success. Talk to me when you got 17 championships, and I got one name for you, Sacramento, Robert Horry. I'm out.
I got you. I see you. Mike in the Bay. Saying he's from L.A. Hey, Sacramento Kings fans, let us know when you win something that matters, he said. But they do own L.A. right now. In the regular season, that's true. But they got him again last night. And AD is 0-10 against Domas, but doesn't care because he only cares about team. AD, what's good? Not your logic, dude.
AD, what's good, baby?
Not your logic or your play against Domas. Let's go to Canton. Mike, great to have you. Mike, what's your beef?
Hey, what's up? My beef's with SiriusXM dropping the third hour of your show for the last 2 weeks. And then I call in and your phone slab says that's not good enough to be a beef.
Yeah, kind of is probably. I didn't know about that. They don't tell me anything. I just show up every day and do my job and do my work. Hey, Tommy. Is it true? Is it a thing? What's up?
Sirius has had an issue broadcasting the show. There is an explanation that they've given us for it. We have no control over that. And I don't know who told him it wasn't good enough to be a beef, but it doesn't make much sense considering he got on air with it as a beef. So,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I see, okay, the guy's coming from a good place. He's like, I want to hear the show. I want to hear the show. And I want to tell you that I want to hear the show. But there's a lie right there. This dude's on the screen with, I have a beef with concert tickets. So clearly somebody did not say to him, you can't call with that beef. You called and said your beef is with concert tickets. Clones, just shoot straight. Stop trying to deke us. Stop trying to come in the side door. Be real. Be straight up. All right. Let's keep moving. Don't get awkward with it. Don't get weird with it. Don't accuse us of things that are not true. Just be straight up like we are. Let me reset this. Or do I need to go to the written beefs? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to El Paso. Bobby in El Paso. Hey, Bobby, what's up? What's your beef?
Hey, Jim. My beef is with the guy that goes and gets a ball cap, leaves all the stickers in, and doesn't mold the bill, and then tucks his ears into it. You look like a nincompoop.
Bobby in El Paso. That's a beef. I mean, it's personal appearance, but it's a beef. That's a beef. All right, we're back on track now. It's kind of personal appearance. you look like a nincompoop. But then again, we did have Sugar Sean O'Malley say that Henry Cejudo is short, ugly, and dumb. Let's go to Boise. Duke in Boise. Duke, I know you can handle this. What's your beef?
My beef is with this one specific guy who bought one of those used Ford Expedition police cars. He had it repainted all black except for the doors, painted those white. He tailgates everyone in town, freaking people out, thinking they're going to get pulled over. He uses the emergency lane. This guy is a total D-bag. That's it. I'm out.
I like it. That works. That's the leader in the clubhouse right now. If you did that, if that's true, if that guy did buy that car, painted that car like that, uses the emergency lane, tailgates people to freak him out, if that guy is in fact doing that, he is a D-bag. D-bag may not be strong enough, because you always see that car. We're like, and then they've got those lights, the lights that they put that they hang from the side that you're like, you know it's a cop. So you immediately hit the brakes when you see it, only to realize it's just some jerk. And it's not a cop at all. Why don't we try Myrtle Beach? Anthony in Myrtle Beach. Anthony, what is your beef?
Jim, I got a beef with my boss. The short bum doesn't want to approve my FMLA. I'm about to pull a Sugar, catch dude out and about, lay the smack down in the produce section. I'm out.
Dude, nobody understands that better than Alvin. Alvin's with you on that. That's why he lets you get away with the, quote, short bum smack. Because Alvin's like, yeah, exactly. Anthony's not having it. Why don't we try the ATX? I know what this guy's brand generally is. Let's find out what he's beefing about. Vince in the ATX. Vince, dude, what is your beef?
How you doing, Rome? Hey, Pasha. My beef is with DoorDash drivers. I go on record to saying people should always tip and tip accordingly. But don't go hitting on my silk bra wife at her office just because she does so. And Jera, the only thing you've done in 25 years is father a child. Allegedly. Hook him out.
You knew he had to get something in on Jera. He took a beat, and I was going to react, but I gave him some room, and I thought he was dumb, but of course he wasn't. There was no way Vince in the ATX was not going to reference Jera. And he just told the DoorDash person, stop hitting on my wife at work. Anybody else? Is it time to flip back? Not yet. Let's go to Pismo Beach. Jeff in Pismo. Jeff, what's your beef?
Yeah, my beef is with people who drive with their bright lights on. They're monkeys. They're morons. You're blinding other drivers. I'm out.
Yeah, it's kind of a drag. They may not know they're on. That's why you flash them and let them know they're on. I don't think they're necessarily doing it to blind you. Anyway, it's kind of a wacky beef segment today. Sometimes it's just like, bam, bam, bam. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Today's not one of those days. Like, the segment still rules. But today, the beefs are kind of wacky and kind of angry and kind of weird. Why don't we read some? Keep calling. Keep calling. I want to reset those. Hey, Rome, I got a beef. I got a beef with a wife. Babe, I've known Rome a hell of a lot longer than I've known you. So I'm going to make this very simple. When Rome is talking, you are not. Beef over. Tim and CLT. Dude, I mean, I appreciate it, but is that really the way you want to play that? Or is that really the way you want to express that? First of all, I don't think you should be picking me over the wife. And certainly not in a public forum. And certainly not like that. Unless you don't want her to be your wife. That's a pretty tough beef. Here's another one. Rome, my beef is with my wife. We only have one wrestling match scheduled per week at a designated time. So I pop my, quote, daddy's little helper, get a hot shower, and I'm all set. I go into the wrestling ring and I find the bed made up tighter than a 5-star hotel. Looks like it's me and you again tonight, Rosie. Joe in New Orleans. Wow. Joe, my brother. Little too much, Joe. Little too much information, Joe. Romy, my beef is with pretentious realtors. The way they carry themselves, you'd think they were curing cancer or negotiating Middle East peace accords. You freaking drive people around. You make houses smell like cookies for your open house and grift 2.5 to 3% in the process. Quit walking around like you're God's gift to this world. Dave in the 808. War Alvey starting a Prize Picks podcast. Wow. War Alvey starting a Prize Picks podcast. Dude, how is he going to do a podcast, which would suggest it's a half hour or more, when he can't get through 30 seconds of a pick? Bruno in the Bay. Hey, Jim. With the MLB season upon us, my beef is with hot dog straws. The tomfoolery of adults that still play with their food aside. What kind of a simpleton hollows out a hot dog, gently purses their lips around the tip, and slurps a fat beer through it, or a flat beer through it? It's vile. That was pretty well written. Van Smack, my beef is with adult men who suck on lollipops. Instead of slurping like a camel with a mouthful of peanut butter and pointing at me with a soggy white stick for emphasis, maybe you cut your ponytail and go back to work at the mall kiosk. Unwar people who say first annual, the word is inaugural. Vaughn in Knoxville. Back-to-back slurping beefs? This guy is succinct. My beef? Tools who brush their teeth at work. Vincent Fresno. I mean, dude, better that than them walking around with a stench in their grill. Or a bunch of food stuck in their teeth. Hey, what up, Jimmy? My beef is with the crybaby car guys who can't handle motorcycles, splitting lanes, passing them, or speeding. Hey, bag, just get out of the way and pick another thing to whine about, you short, ugly, stupid, unfulfilled dork. Signed, motorcycle guy and chick getter. Motorcycle guy and chick getter. PJ and Aptos. Hey, bro. The reason people hate that is because they don't want to drive into you and kill you. That's why. It's not that they can't, quote, get chicks. They just don't want you to get dead. Dear Van Smack, my beef is with my sister. Don't get me wrong, I love her dearly, but why does she put nothing but fancy scented hand soaps in her bathrooms? Is it asking her too much to mix in some Dial or soft soap? I hate spending Christmas and Easter with my hands smelling like a pine tree or a mango every time I wash them. Mike in KC. Hey, Rome, my beef is with you never reading the beef below that I send in week after week. Dave in KC. Dave, the beef is too long. Maybe take a hint, tighten it up, or send a new beef. You're welcome. Jimmers, my beef is with you. Every time I hear the term A1C or hear that music, the Jim Rome Show comes to mind. Get out of my head, Jimmy. Ken in Texas. Ken, dude, that's not on me. I've done everything in my power to shut that crap down. Why are you blaming me for things that aren't my fault? Hey, Rome, my beef is with my prepper neighbor who tells me to stop eyeballing his garden every time I walk my dog by his house. Now, I don't want to upset Prepper Nation, but when the zombies come, the last place I'm going is to that old kook's house. Chad from Orlando.
Bray.
Mike writes, my beef, referencing today, 314, as Pi Day. Is there anything more tired, lame, and played? Warjoy Votto is comeback player of the year with the Blue Jays. Yeah, I didn't even know it was 314, and if I did, I would not have called it Pi Day, because all that would have done was gotten me a bunch of Chuck Weiss responses. Hey, James Rome III, Chancellor of the 818. My beef is with people who start directing you in and, and out of parking spaces. My dad is the worst at this. God forbid you're driving up and he sees you. He'll throw his arms up like an air traffic controller to direct you into the driveway. Pops, I have eyes. You? Regards, Steve K in Calgary. Nicely done. At T-Rob underscore actor. Jimmy, my beef is with my persnickety cat who refuses to eat the same thing twice in a row. The silver lining is that he has caused my wife to contract secondhand jungle Tourette's. Yesterday, I heard her tell him, eat it, Hud!
Eat it, Hud.
Nico Jones, quote, my beef is with people who wait until every product is scanned at the register only to then begin to look through their 6-inch thick wallet for a credit card to pay. Hey, genius, once the first product is scanned, you can swipe or tap your card or phone and be done with it. That's fair. It's fair. I guess people want to see the actual damage they've done before they swipe. They want to see the total before they tap. At Superhero Brother. Damn it.
Brother.
Tim's call pissed me off. Thanks for calling during the beef segment to explain to us how the show works, you bag. What a loser. That's my beef, Jimbo. Rome, my beef is with the guy who spends his time staring at other people, sucking on things, and then gets all bent about it. Justin in Albany. All right, so now it's coming around. Now we're getting responses to the beefs. Gordon, my beef is with Alvy for not running that first caller. Get in, get out. We don't care about your life story. JR in the 414, my beef is with that dude from San Antonio who whined about having to wear pants to work when it's too hot. Does he even know the dress code of thousands of people who work in that town? Let me know when the military can wear shorts to work. Hashtag, what's your beef? Jim, my beef is with Vince in the ATX. If you don't want me hitting on your wife, keep her off the pole. Come on, Ed. Ed, now you're just trolling. Now you're just making trouble, dude. If you don't want me hitting on your wife, keep her off the pole. Let's finish up on the phones. Let's go to Indiana. Mac in Indiana. Mac, what's your beef?
My beef is with Mr. Inaugural Beefer. Hey, dude, get a dictionary. First and inaugural mean the same thing, genius. I'm out.
Okay, what his problem was, Mac, was first annual, not first. He said, stop calling things first annual. It's inaugural. So I'll defend Vaughn on that one. People are pissed. Let's go to Georgia. Paul in Georgia. Paul, what's your beef?
My beef is with my coworker who leaves just a splash of coffee in the coffee pot in the community break room. Put a filter in the freaking coffee pot and make fresh coffee for everybody. I'm out.
It's good. That's solid. I like that. I don't know. We, like a lot of people now, we pod. There is no actual pot anymore, but I can remember back in the day, that did suck. We recycle the pods as well. Don't jump on me on that either. We recycle the pods. We recycle paper. Every last pod gets recycled. But I see your beef. I see it working. Let's go to Stockton. Zach in Stockton. What up, Zach? What's your beef?
What's up, Romy? Hey, my beef is with that weirdo that followed up my first phone call from Shaq all angry about whatever he was mad about. Dude, Romy just spent 20 minutes on the open, man. Give him a rest. My second beef is with that bum in the Bay who claims to be a Lakers fan. Hey, buddy, retire that jersey that's two sizes, 20 years too small for you. Take the Kobe posters down off your mommy's basement and get the hell out of here. I got one name for you. Domantas Sabonis. Out.
All right, Zach Stockton representing. 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for a flurry. I'm looking for a finish on the phones. Let's go to Ben in Driftwood. Why not, right? Yo, Ben, what's your beef?
Hey, Rome. My beef this week goes out to Daylight Savings / Time Changer guy. 1 week, he's like pushing the time back, and then the next week the time gets moved up. And I'm not even talking about everyone's favorite old trapper beef Seggy. We on a nation. That's not a good
call. No. Hey Ben, that beef was worse than your worst song, and your worst song is one of the worst things ever. Dude, your new song is so bad I can't even air it. And your beef I think was even worse than the song that I can't air. So consider that a win. Half of your horrible beef got on the air, and none of your horrible song is getting on the air. Yet you come back for more. All right, so why don't we go to somebody who can do what you aspire to do, Ben, and do it really well at times. And at times, just murder it. John in Little Rock. John, my man, what's your beef?
You want beef, I got beef. You want beef, I got beef. You want beef, I got beef with that dude that called. I'm on top of the building, now your ass is about to fall. You want beef, I got beef. Step into the arena. I'm going to show you who's the winner. You sound just like Tina. Want beef, I got beef. Nobody even knows you. Step into this spot, and I'm going to really have to show you to get beef.
John, here you go, dude. See what I mean? Nobody even knows you. I got beef. I can't beatbox like him. That's funny. All right, we're not done yet. We're almost done. We're very close to being done. Man, somebody close this segment like a boss with a legitimate beef. That was pretty good right there. What else you got, Tommy? What do you like? Put yourself out there. No? I'm looking. This guy's been waiting and waiting. Let's see if we can walk it off on this. Robert in San Antonio. San Antonio's got beef. San Antonio is showing up for this segment. Robert, what's your beef?
My name's Paul.
Your name's Paul? That's not a good call.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I don't know. The screen says your name is Robert. So if you want to get on the air with a beef, just roll with it, because as you know, Alvin is going to run you if you correct the host. It doesn't matter how jacked up that rule is. Even I've tried to change that rule. Alvin will not allow it. Alvin's got the hammer. So, if for whatever reason, Jack goes phone slap or Tommy gets your name wrong and I pronounce it or I say it wrong on the air, just go with it. Or that's going to happen. Like, you could have had the best beef in the world, and I'm wrong. You could have had the best beef in the world, and I was wrong. Doesn't matter. If you correct me, Alvin will ring you up. I don't want to end on that. Is there one more we could take a shot at? These guys are working the phones like they're at the public access telethon. Let's go to Arizona, Jacob. Jacob, what is your beef?
Hey, Jim, Rome wasn't built in one day. I got a beef with my ladies.
What, Albie? You don't like I know, it's corny. Like not a very good call. I would have allowed that corn. Some corn is permissible. I still do not want to end this segment with somebody getting run. Can somebody just get off a beef without corn or cringe or correcting me or getting run? One. Just one. Trying so hard here. What do you got, Tommy? You do not seem confident. All right, we'll try one more. Skip in Texas. Skip, what is your beef?
Romy, I got a beef with the so-called lock screen on my iPhone. It does everything except lock the screen. It changes alarms. Can change my wallpaper. It's the stupidest thing. If it's a lock screen, it's supposed to lock your screen. I'm out.
I feel you. You know, I'm constantly trying to keep my wallpaper from getting changed because it's not locked. That'll happen. All right. I mean, are we going to keep chasing or do one more? Do you like line six? Line one? Let's go to Texas. Kyle in Texas. What's up, Kyle? What's your beef?
Hey, Jim. I work at a pizza place. It's 1 a.m. If you're going to order pizza 2 minutes before I close, my beef is don't do that. I'm trying to get home to my family. There's a 24-hour Whataburger down the street. Go to that instead. I'm out.
Yeah, but they're drunk. But they're stoned. They've got the munchies. It says 12:58, not 1. Why don't we take one more shot? Greenville, Timmy in Greenville. Timmy, what's your beef?
Yeah, I got beef with the clown from Sacktown. Disrespecting Cubby Bryant. I'm out.
There you go. Fair enough. We're out.
Good night now!